Last week we talked about thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That was the message from last week. The Lord had put that on my heart while I was away, just kept thinking about it, meditating on it, you know, just reading about it until I came back and was able to bring the message, I trust, was from Him to all of us. And as I was here this week for Vacation Bible School, it was a pirate theme, as I guess you might be able to tell and see. It's all about treasures and things like that. But one of the verses was from Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek first His kingdom, His righteousness. To seek His righteousness, or to seek His kingdom and His righteousness, it really means to let God's rule and will, His standards, His principles, His priorities, His agendas, go first in our life, to take place in our life first, more than all the other things, which I'll get to in a moment, what these other things are. And there's so many other things. But to seek that first is to seek His will, His way. You say, well, didn't we talk a little bit about this last week, by thy kingdom come? Well, yes, we did. We talked about a future kingdom that is coming, a millennial reign of Jesus Christ. We talked about the present kingdom that should be living and ruling in our hearts, where the kingdom of God is in our hearts. But we should be seeking after it, not just passively waiting. See, God's kingdom is where He is actively ruling and reigning. His righteousness is His perfect standards, His way of rightness. I like to use that term sometimes, rightness, God's principles, God's way. And the kingdom, as I just said, is both this future kingdom that will come to this earth, but it's also a present kingdom that should be living and ruling within our own hearts. God's rule. I mean, think about the millennial kingdom. Jesus actually on the throne. But now shift that thought to your own life. Is Jesus actually on the throne? It's a question you have to ask yourself. I can't answer that question for you. I can only ask it and answer it of myself. But we need to consider that. Is God's rule taking place in my life? Is His presence, I know He promised His presence, I'm a Christian, I'm born again, His Holy Spirit lives within me, but is His presence really is really part of my life, an active part of my life? Am I quenching the Spirit of God? Or am I allowing the Spirit of God to rule and reign in my heart? Do I recognize His spiritual presence? Do others even see His presence within me? As I wait for that future hope, is it present with me now? Am I living kingdom life now? Am I looking and going after His righteousness? God's standards, which are different than ours many times. Am I looking to have a right standing before God and before people? Am I living in a way that I am displaying true love? Not my sense of love. True justice. Not my sense of justice. You know? True mercy. You know, we're very merciful to people we want to be merciful to, but to those that we don't want to be merciful to, we're not very merciful. Do we show true humility? See, I want to talk a little bit more about seeking that kingdom and His righteousness in a few moments, but I want to focus our attention, because I think it helps us, because what are these things that will be added unto us? Right? Isn't that what the scripture said? Colin, put that back up again. I just want us to look at it again. But seek, you're still up there, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, in direct context in that chapter, in Matthew chapter 6, He's specifically talking about like physical needs, provisions, things that we all have need of and sometimes worry about to a greater or lesser extent. Food, Some of us, if a couple hours passes by, you get hangry. Not just hungry. You get hangry. You know what that is. Drink. You know how much we need it? We need it. We need drink. I'm talking about good drink. Water. Yeah. Some of you are like, oh, you can drink now? Clothing. Please wear it. We need it. Shelter. Some are without. It's a terrible thing. But to have a place to live, a roof over our heads. But it goes even deeper than that. It's more than all the daily necessities of life. And there's a lot of them. We sometimes prioritize things that are not really that necessary. But there are the basics, the things that we all need. I'm going to clue you in on something. God knows what you need, even more than you do. He knows how to provide it, even more than you know how to go out and get it. See, and what we have to do is we have to start shifting our focus. Jesus is shifting our focus from the pursuit of all these things. And remember, that list is a lot bigger. I just covered those few basics. This, well, whatever we say is all the stuff that we need, and we have to get it, and we need to build it, and we need to have it, and we need more, and we need more, we need this, and we need that. He says, you're pursuing all the wrong things. There's something more important to pursue. Change your focus. And what it does for us when we change our focus, when we begin to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, you know, one of the beautiful things it actually does? It frees you from anxiety. It really does. In an amazing way. The promise to know and believe and to trust the promises of God's provision for you. Believing that God can provide for you better than you could ever provide for yourself, and knowing that He will, and trusting Him in that, it removes a big burden from your shoulders. That's a real part of kingdom living. That's a real part of kingdom living. Trusting God for our daily bread. Trusting God for our needs. And it takes and removes so much anxiety from us. See, as He actively cares for us, and we know and trust Him that way, we remember He said, listen, I take care of the little birdies. I'll take care of you. You're worth more than a little bit of bird. A little bird. I'll take care of you. I feed them. I'll feed you. I clothe the flowers in the ground. I'll take care of your clothing. See, from the beginning of this Sermon on the Mount, as we call it, from the beginning of this teaching, which, by the way, just before I went on vacation, I had finished our Bible study, the series we were on, and I had 1 week kind of standing, and I was just praying, Lord, what can we do for one Thursday night? And we looked at the Sermon on the Mount, but we looked at the Beatitudes specifically. So I was kind of there in this, and probably this is why when I went away on vacation, all these were in my mind, and the Lord kept dealing me with a lot of this. And the reason I bring this up is because from the beginning of the Beatitudes, chapter 5 of Matthew, the beginning of this teaching, which seems to be, by the way, a core teaching of Jesus. It doesn't look like it's a one and done. Oh, I call you all to the mountain, I give it to you now. No, it seems like something He taught often. In different ways. You see it in Luke, you see it again in a different setting, a different thing. It seems to be part of His core teaching, this whole idea from the Sermon on the Mount. It just seems to be mostly encapsulated in Matthew in a more full way. And He tells us in chapter 5 the promise of this physical provision. He talks about the transforming of the human heart. The change from an external pursuit of things and trying to follow either rules or agendas or other things of our making or somebody else's making, you know, even following religious rules for our own sake. He's trying to shift all that focus to focus on us to what was really important, was really needed. When He started out with the Beatitudes, He started to say things that they were like, what? He basically was changing their thoughts and their thought processes and their outlooks on life, even saying, you know what you've been taught, you know what other people have said, but I will tell you. I say unto you. And he turned their thinking upside down, and real in reality, he was trying to turn it right side up. Because they and we have it all backwards. Sure, we'll bless the humble and the grieving and the merciful and the persecuted. What? Yes, go out and be salt and light into this world. The law is good, but I came to fulfill that law, he would tell them. Because you can't keep the law and do anything with that law except show yourself more guilty of that law. I came to fulfill that law. I came to do what you can never do. I'm telling you, yeah, when you're angry without a cause, but your anger goes into a place of hatred, that's the same as murder. When you lust after a woman and you lust in her in such a way, though you would never lay a hand on her, you have committed adultery with her in your heart. Touching them at the heart level. Showing them and teaching them what radical love really, really looks like. Radical love. God's love, that agape love. To choose, to refuse retaliation and actively love your enemies. Don't parade around with this, you know, a hidden righteousness, you know, like, you know, a religious acts of giving to the poor and doing all these things and tithing in such a way, but inside your hearts are all like messed up. Even your prayer life is wrong, so I'm going to teach you how to pray. Don't just use vain repetitions and words. When you pray, pray in this manner, our Father who art in heaven, and we know the rest. External treasures, worldly wealth and worldly things, and everybody has an idea of what that means for them. And he says, no, you go after spiritual wealth in heaven. That can't be stolen from you. It can't be taken away. It cannot be eroded or corroded. You can't serve two masters, whoever those masters are, whether it's God and mammon or God and money or God or yourself. And as I said earlier, he was giving them a cure for anxiety when we live a kingdom life. Not my kingdom, but his kingdom. Oh man, what a focus, what a change. I'm not going to tell you that I have completely learned this fully. I'd be a liar and a fool. But I've come to learn a lot of things in my Christian life. And as Paul says, you know, I don't want to tell you I've gotten there yet, but I continue to go, but I've learned some things along the way, you know. And I want to tell you, I have learned so much to just say, Lord, your way is best. Lord, I hold things so loosely. See, so many times our anxieties comes because we're trying to do things our way, even though they may be good and godly things. Or we have an agenda, a time frame that is our time frame, but it's not God's time frame, and we're pushing an agenda, and we don't even realize we're pushing an agenda because it will line up with the way we think things should go. And you know what you're really doing? You're setting your kingdom's agenda, not his kingdom's agenda. I mentioned to Meg the other day, and we're talking about a lot of stuff, and one of the things I said, when I was younger, I did have a habit of procrastination. I did. In certain things, not everything in my life, certain things I would procrastinate, like, you know, I have a book report due, and I would wait the 3 weeks and do it the night before, and just, you know, cleaning my room, you know, until I was threatened, you know, I'll do it tomorrow, you know. But as I got older, I become much less and less of a procrastinator, much less. I'll give all the credit to the Lord, but I'll give the credit to my wife who put in my life because she cured me of that in so many ways. But I've said to Meg, you notice I'm not a procrastinator really anymore, but I have learned over the years to not respond to everything right away. And people think it's procrastination, but it's not. I'm saying, Father, I have my direction, and now I'm waiting for you to give me the next step. And that's not procrastination. And that's hard, sometimes in your own flesh, but hard for others when they view it from the outside. To let God's agenda take place. Let God's timing take place. Let God's kingdom work come and be accomplished in your life and through your life. Oh, we got to do it. We have to get it done. We got to do this. We got to do this. Do we? Do we? Is that the kingdom agenda or is it your agenda? And when you start to say, truly, thy will be done. Truly, I'm seeking after your kingdom. And whatever that looks like, it removes a whole lot of worry from you. And I'm not going to say again, I haven't achieved it perfectly. But I've learned more and more and more how not to let screens that don't work get on you. There's a purpose for that, Father. I don't know what it was. There's a reason for it. I'm okay. It's okay. Maybe we just needed to hear you guys sing louder for us for a minute. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. God, it's your kingdom, your people, your church. I'm here. I'll just do whatever. See, Jesus is teaching on money, material possessions, our human agendas, the desires for certain things, centered on the idea of that everything that we think and we hold is dear. He's saying, no, it's not dear. It's not, that's not the dear thing. That's not the important thing. You got it backwards. It's not your bank account. It's not your peace of mind, in the way you think your peace of mind. In other words, you set it all in order that your kingdom's agenda is taking place. It's not. He's consistently warning against chasing, whether it's riches or other agendas or other things. And he says it all distracts you from the true kingdom, from seeking God first. True peace trusts him. And we're content with whatever he provides, in the timing that he provides it, in the way he provides it. See, these are questions to ask yourself, a heart that will follow Jesus no matter what. Because your heart will always follow the things of your treasure. Where does your treasure? Are you following two masters? You love the Lord with all of your heart, but are you following him and yourself? You're following his kingdom and your kingdom? More than likely, that's the case for most of us. Most of us are not our kingdom only. We're saying, no, we want the kingdom of God. We want it, but we're at the same time in parallel paths. So it's a competition. Our kingdom, his kingdom. Our kingdom, his kingdom. Our kingdom, his kingdom. And there's that tension there all the time. When we go after the things of this world more than the things of his kingdom, it chokes out his word in our life. It chokes out his peace in our life. It chokes out our growth in many ways. We become like the rich fool who wanted a kingdom. Who doesn't want heaven? Well, I want eternal life. Yeah, okay, well then sell everything. Well, does that mean the way to heaven is to abstract poverty and put yourself in? No, for that man, that was his kingdom. He couldn't lay that aside and he went away very sorrowful. I'll take care of you. I told you I'll take care of the birds and the flowers. I'll take care of you. Worrying about it's not going to add a single moment to your lifespan or to your amount of hairs on your head, whether they're gray or not gray. I mean, it's not going to change any of that. He's trying to teach us to define life correctly from his perspective. Give us this day our daily bread. Let me seek, Father, heavenly treasures. These things that of love and of kindness and of faith and of mercy and all these things of your kingdom, those things cannot be taken from me nor destroyed. Teach me in all of this that what it means to truly be kingdom-minded and seeking your kingdom is to trust you exclusively. The Apostle Paul, he taught a lot about this too. He taught a lot about contentment. He wrote to both the Philippian church, and he mentioned some things in Timothy about just different things. And one of the things he said is that he knew, because, and Jesus obviously knew he's our creator, but he also lived life in the flesh. But Paul realized this as a man. He said, this idea of contentment and seeking after the kingdom of God, that's not innate within us. It's not there. We have the rebellious side. We have the side of me. It's not there. He said, I had to learn these things. Church, admit to yourself this morning, I have to learn these things. I have to pursue after these things. These are learned spiritual disciplines. Think about Paul. He's writing in Philippians, right? And yeah, Philippians and in Timothy. He's writing from a prison cell. Not the way he probably thought it was going to go. No, I'm sure if he had to write this story, you know, he's going to write it differently. But now here he is. Oh, he's having great success here, there, and everywhere. And now I'm in jail? Philippians 4:11, Colin. Just put that up there. I didn't print it out on my thing. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I am, he said, to be content. Why? Because he's just that kind of dude? No, he says, I'm trusting. I'm seeking after a different kingdom. And I'm not only waiting for that kingdom in the future, I'm living that kingdom now. Next verse, Colin 12. I'll just read it. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Next verse. Yeah, do we get 12? Did we miss 12? Anyway, but again, he says all this. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Through him. See, 1 Timothy 6. See, and listen to the words here. He says, now godliness, kingdom living, seeking after his kingdom, godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into this world. We can certainly cannot take anything out of it. Look at verse 12. Or the next verse, I'm sorry. The next verse. And having food and clothing with these, we shall be content. Verses 9 and 10. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, for which some have strayed from their faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. It's a mind shift. It's a shift in our mind, in our way of thinking, the concepts, the idea of replacing, if you will, worry and anxiety, and I got to do this, and I got to do it in my time. I have a plan. How many times? I have a plan, and whatever it is. I have a plan for my life because I'm in my, you know, teens and 20s. I have this plan. Or I'm in my, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s. I have this plan for the rest of my life, whatever. I have a plan. Make sure I got that plan done. Get that plan. And in that plan, it could be a great plan, good plan, godly plan, but not necessarily his plan. You know the difference? But God, yeah, but God, nothing. He knows. But God, you know how much I, yeah, he does. But I only have so much time. No, he knows how much time you have. You may only have the next breath. You might have another 50 years. Oh, I'm going to live to be 135? Well, then, God knows. I don't know. You don't know. Doesn't mean that we don't plan things. Doesn't mean we don't have an agenda, but we hold those things loosely and say, Father, truly not my will but thine be done, but not my kingdom, but your kingdom come into my life. And I take that to say all the anxieties that come with it. Philippians 4:6. Don't be anxious about anything, but in all things with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, because you're thankful now because it's a kingdom in you and not your kingdom. Let your requests be made known to God. And what's the result? In the peace of God, which surpasseth all human understanding, shall guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Godliness with contentment is great gain. It breaks anxieties, fears. It breaks greed. You may not even think that you're being greedy in your things. You may be not from the world standpoint being greedy, but it is because you want it now. It breaks that. It can't be taken from you. It brings peace, not only present peace, but a future peace. It brings the peace that Jesus promised, that peace that not only surpasses human understanding, but it's the godly peace that he says, I only can provide for you. The world can never give you this kind of peace. It helps you escape the trap of wealth. Whatever wealth, don't think of just money. Whatever wealth seems to be to you, whatever that means, that concept, it takes it away. All right, I could talk a lot longer about this, but I'm going to move to this one part, and we have to see this. How do I seek after the kingdom of God? How do I seek it? First of all, seeking something is really trying with all of your might, all of your abilities to find or to get something, to achieve something, whatever that might be, to go after with everything you got. That's seeking. You all played hide and seek, right? It's not much of a game if the person that's seeking doesn't look really hard, does it? You're hiding, you have a good space, and then the person's like, yeah, watching TV or something. Yeah, that's not very fun, right? But they're really looking for you. You're like, ha-ha, they can't find me. They're seeking hard. See, I want to give a little warning again. I said this several times already, but I just really feel I need to say it again. We have to hear this. Lord, give us ears to hear. We are to seek His kingdom and His righteousness, not our kingdom or our righteousness. It's a warning for all of us, because the kingdom of heaven, listen, that sounds like an amen. I like that. The kingdom of heaven is more than likely not going to look like what you think it's going to look like. You have this idea, and it's really your version of the kingdom of heaven that fits with your version of the kingdom of heaven. You got to break that.
You mean when I'm in heaven, I'm going to have to be with people like that?
Yeah.
They are going to sit next to me?
Yes.
I got to be nice to them? No, yeah, I love them.
Wow. Wait, we don't sing three hymns and do a thing and that? No. You mean it's not just on Sundays? No. It's more than an hour? Yeah, it's eternally. It's going to be a lot different, folks. And it should be that different now in us. See, don't look for your kingdom in any way. Get rid of that. Lord, help me to change that within me. Help me to see your kingdom now. This should be a two-parter, but I'm not. It should be. Are you like a Matthew? Who you're right there just doing your job? Making a lot of money as a tax collector? And he says, follow me? And you go, oh, okay, I'll leave it all and follow him. Is it Zacchaeus? I'll give it half away. I'll follow him. Are you a Ruth who says, you know what, I'll just follow my mother-in-law to a different land, different God, different people, and he'll be my God. I'm just, you know. Are you a Joseph? You know, I want to run the family business. Wait, now I'm in prison? Well, I'll continue to follow godliness in his kingdom. You know? Are you a George Mueller? Some of you know his story. I read a lot of Mueller's, you know, writing stuff about him and all this stuff. I don't know, but I kind of think that he probably, when a young kid, didn't necessarily write the story of his life that way. But when he knew that that was the story of the kingdom, he said, I'm going to radically follow Jesus, and I'm going to begin to take care of these kids in this orphanage, and I'm never going to ask anybody for money, because you know what? It's his kingdom, his work. He'll provide. And he never asked for money. And God provided for them in more ways than you can imagine. Are you like a guy like, what's this, a C.T. Studd? You ever hear of him? Missionary? He gave away his whole fortune that he had just to go to India and China. He says, some people want to have, you know, work for the kingdom, like way back in here with a nice fence. And he says, I want to have it right in the doorstep of hell. I don't want anybody to miss anybody. Are you like a Jim Elliot who ended up being martyred for the missionary work that he did, who said he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose? Are you a John, our brother John in Afghanistan, who, you know, just God said go, and he says, that's not my kingdom, sorry. Then God said go, and he said, okay, it's your kingdom, and went and found peace that he never had in his life before he went to that place? See, we have to examine our motives. Evaluate your goals, your choices, your agendas, your timetable. Surrender that control over to Him. Redefine what success really means. I'm going to tell you, biblical success, godly success, is much different than your version or my version of success. I'm saying these things and asking you to be prayerful about them. I'm not here to try to tell you how to change it in your life. Only you can do that by seeking after the Holy Spirit living within you and say, Father, show me, change my mind, change my motives, or let me examine my motives. Let me surrender. Teach me to surrender control. Teach me what you really want, what is success in my life, what it looks like. Help me to every day as I'm in your word, let your word saturate my heart and mind so that I begin to truly see from your eyes, and I want to understand not only how the kingdom operates intellectually, I want to know how the kingdom operates internally in my life. Break my heart, Lord, for your kingdom. And you may have to fast. And it may not be a fast about food. It may be a fast about things that are keeping you from kingdom living. And it may be something as simple as fasting from your agenda for a while and try his agenda. Lord, I fast from my agenda, Lord. I'm on your time. I want to see, Lord. I want to understand. Pray fervently. Be in worship, be in fellowship with him and with others. Let others, let God use others to speak things into your life and to show you some things that maybe you don't want to hear. You know, how many times God will use a brother or sister to drop a word into our life and we're like, yeah, what do they know? Now consider it. It may not be from God, but consider that it might be. Chew on it a little bit. Say, Father, what do I have to see in this maybe criticism? You know, I sometimes said to Meg the other day too, when we are all criticized, and some of us more than others, and sometimes rightly so. But you know, when criticism comes, don't write out and reject and get angry at it. Think about it a minute. Say, okay, maybe I don't agree with it, but maybe I'm not seeing something that they're seeing. And God can use that. And then go out when you see these things and begin to practice them. Paul said, I had to learn to do it, and he equated the godliness with bodily exercise. Some do like to exercise like crazy, but for most of it, it's hard, it's exercise, but you got to do it if you want to have the healthy body, right? Spiritual exercise, kingdom exercise, you need to say, Lord, help me today to practice it, to live it out, to do, let me, in other words, practice today intentional forgiveness, intentional love. Intentional managing of the resources you give me, and let me really be a steward of what you have provided for me, Father. Let me tell others about you. Let me let them see you in me. Well, I pray the Holy Spirit will bring these things to your heart and mind and do something to have you begin to see from God's perspective, not your own. But I need to say this before we close, whether it's for somebody here or somebody that will listen in later as you maybe share this message with them. To first seek the kingdom of God and his benefits, you must first be in the kingdom. So kingdom living starts by coming into a relationship with Jesus Christ. He's inviting us, Jesus, into a completely new way of living, not only here, but eternally. He's inviting us to have a new citizenship, not of the earth anymore, but a citizenship that is in heaven, even while we still remain in this earth. If you're a child of God, your citizenship already today is in heaven. If you're not a child of God, your citizenship today is on the earth, but it's consigned to hell afterwards if you don't repent. Jesus is saying, I want you to change your citizenship, and you need to become a citizen of heaven. Even if you live down here another 50 years, you need to change that destination. But that presents a problem to us, because our agenda is, let me do more to get into the kingdom of God. Let me try hard to get into the kingdom of God. When he says, no, you just got to die to get into the kingdom of God. Die to yourself, die to your way. You cannot do it. I did it for you. Will you just come to me just as you are, in your sin, in your brokenness, in your unrighteousness, and all those other things? Would you come to me as you are and surrender your life to me? Believe that I died for you, that I took your place on the cross. Believe that I am the only way to heaven, that I am the salvation, that I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one can get to the Father except through me. Believe that in your heart. Confess it with your mouth. Come to me, and you will become a citizen of heaven. And once you become a citizen of heaven by being born again into the family of God, then you can seek after the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. And not all things, is a lot of things, shall be added unto you. So we need to stop seeking the benefits and seek after the benefactor, Jesus Christ himself. He says, I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. So come as you are. If you need to accept Christ today, we'll pray for you. Come up, we'd love to pray for you. If you recognize these things in yourself about seeking after a different kingdom than his kingdom, then let the Holy Spirit work in you today. But make sure first you are in the kingdom, and then begin to seek the kingdom and all his righteousness and benefits.